You're listening to Rock Island Radio, on demand radio, playing the best 70s, 80s, country, rock, and pop.
It doesn't have to be good.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? All of you, stop what you're doing and listen.
It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. It's made with bits of real panther.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Come again? You know I don't speak Spanish.
Loud noises!
Tommy Rage.
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
You pooped in the refrigerator, and you ate the whole wheel of cheese?
How'd you do that? It's actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Rage Record Review.
Nothing to look at. Go back to work, everyone. Don't act like you're not impressed.
Hey, rock stars, welcome to another edition of Rage Record Review. Your humble host here, Mr. Tommy Rage, the guy whose girlfriend says, "What starts with F and ends with K?" I said, "No, it doesn't." But what do I know? I do know that this week's show is going to be great. Our special guest this week is Paige Hamilton, the guitarist and lead singer from the band Helmet. We'll get into a little bit more of the long-standing history of the band Helmet. We'll also talk about the band's brand new album, play a few tracks off of that, and we'll look back at some very fond Wisconsin memories. But let's kick off the show as Paige talks about the history of the band Helmet and his training as a classically trained musician. Let's kick things off. Our discussion, Paige Hamilton from the band Helmet. Paige, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tommy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited about you guys, Helmet. Give them a little history of the great band Helmet.
Yeah, well, 35 years. I formed the band in New York City in 1989. Went in and auditioned at CBGB's and got booked once a month, and from there kind of just built the following. And we ended up going to Europe with 4 other Amphetamine Reptile bands. That was the label we were originally on, Minneapolis-based indie label. And we did a Europe tour, I guess 1990, or something like that. And just kind of, you know, went from there. Things went really well, and I think people were ready for, it was sort of the puffy hair metal poser era on MTV, you know, and I won't mention band names because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But then we came along and we were just four dorks wearing shorts and with short hair and playing kind of heavy music that, you know, inspired by everything from, you know, AC/DC to I don't even know. Just, you know, I think in my original ad auditioning people, I had like Ornette Coleman, Wire, John Coltrane, Led Zeppelin, or something as influences, which are all absolute influences of on, you know, my musical kind of vocabulary. We broke up in I forget what year, 1998, after four albums, and then I got a call from our old label Interscope to make another Helmet record in 2003. So I enlisted new band members, bandmates, John Tepesta, who plays with The Cult now, Chris Traynor, who had played at Helmet before, he's in Bush now, and then Frank Bello, who is in Anthrax, and that we made an album, and it was fun, you know, so it's just kind of, we're still at it. I have a permanent band now for Kyle Stevens, who's been with me for 17 years. He's a scrawny boy. I think he might have been expelled from college in Madison. I'm not sure, but he's from Oconomowoc. Phenomenal drummer, phenomenal talent, phenomenal singer too. He does the lion's share of the back vocals. And then Dan Beeman, who's another Midwest guy from Minneapolis. And then we've got our we call him the missing link. Our bassist is a guy named Dave Case from Long Island, New York. And that's it. Yeah, we've been touring for a long long time. It's obviously not as hectic as it was back in the 90s, which is fine for me. So we, but we're going doing this tour. As you know, we'll stop by Madison. We always look forward to that. Hopefully April 16th won't be as cold as the last time we played there when it was just frozen, brutal. So bad.
Paige, when you mentioned, you know, putting the band together, people might not know this, but you are kind of classically trained in jazz and other avenues of music, aren't you?
I am. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a solo album right now. I've got a two-album deal to do kind of a soundtrack, some of the stuff that I've done for films. Niall Rodgers from Chic had a label called Something Music, and they put out my movie music album, 10 years ago or 8 years ago, and they label went under, so I got the music back, and I have all this other music that's written since then. So I'm working on that album, and then a label, Adele, Ear Music in Hamburg, Germany, has a jazz label called MPS, so they asked me to do a jazz album, so I'm very excited about that. Just kind of started arranging things, I went to University of Oregon, got a degree in classical and jazz guitar, and then I moved to New York City and got my master's degree in jazz guitar at Manhattan School of Music, had phenomenal classmates like David Berger, who's like one of the top two Duke Ellington authorities in the world, Todd Kuhlman, bassist who played with Benny Golson, and Paul Myers, who played with Stan Kenton, like serious cats. I was just this young. I was the youngest guy in the program, and I was kind of like had no experience back then. And so, you know, I learned a lot from all those my classmates. But it's great to be around people like that. So I love them. I'm a big jazz and classical nerd.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage,
the Dalai Lama himself. 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga. So he finished 18, and he's gonna stiff me. And I said, hey, Lama, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Tommy Rage.
We'll have more from the frontman from Helmet a little bit later on in the show. Back in 1990, the band released their debut album/EP called Strap It On. It didn't see initial success. However, when the band went in to release their second album, 1992's Meantime, the band got a lot of attention, and we're going to talk to Paige. Not only that, but the huge success that followed their 1992 release. Let's play a track off of that. We'll play a couple. Let's kick things off with the title track from Meantime. This is In the Meantime. Time by Helmet here on Rage Record Review.
We'll be right back.
that was In the Meantime by Helmet here on Rage Record Review. Now Paige is going to talk about the early days of shopping his demo tape around and how staying unique has always been a Helmet thing. Paige Hamilton from the band Helmet, you guys were really sought after by multiple record labels at one point. Yeah. Am I right about that? What was that experience like? Did it surprise you?
We kind of just took everything with a grain of salt, to be honest. I remember going in, and I had friends, you know, friends of friends. Oh, this person works at Capitol. This person works at Atlantic Records. So I remember a couple of times I went in with our demo tape and sat with A&R people, and I just remember the horrified looks on their faces, and them just kind of like, well, yeah. I don't think this is, make the label, friendly or whatever, or being friendly. And I knew it wasn't, you know. But there was, to his credit, there was a guy, I forget his last name, Raymond. He managed the Cocteau Twins. He was in, at one of the labels I went to, he was, whatever label Cocteau Twins were on, he was in the office. And he said, this is really interesting guitar stuff going on, you know. And so he had a bit of a musical ear. He heard that there was something there, but I think it was soon for people to embrace something that was, as you say, kind of as heavy and aggressive as we are. There was no internet or anything like that. There was college radio. The college radio was very supportive, and that was great for us. And that kind of, I think, it increased the interest. And so we saw our crowds go from four people to, like, 400 to 1,000, and they just kind of kept building that way, you know.
Paige Hamilton, our guest, with your 1992 release, Meantime. I mean, that was a great album for you and really put the spotlight on you guys to kind of move out of that four guys in a van life. Am I right about that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that was that sort of, once we signed the deal with Interscope and the Meantime album came out, they were Interscope was a small, hungry label at the time. They had Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, Gerardo, and a band called The Storm, which were former members of Journey, and Primus. They had signed Primus. And they were just super, hungry and aggressive, and put everything behind us, and it helped kind of spread the word. So that's how that kind of increased our audience, like times 100 or whatever. If you're an independent band touring in a van and, not getting kind of mainstream exposure, you're not going to, you're going to play to smaller audiences, so that's, it was definitely good. The good news for us was that I was always too stupid to sit around and try to accommodate some marketplace. Like, I don't know what people want to hear. I know what I want to hear. I know what I want to write and sing and play. And we were very unified at the time, the four of us. We knew we were good, and we knew that we didn't sound like, Poison or Winger or Warrant and Ovi and all those bands, very good bands, but just, we knew that wasn't our world, and we weren't trying to compete with them.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage.
The Dalai Lama, himself, the 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, how about a little something, for the effort, And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Tommy Rage.
Hey, this is Paige Hamilton from Helmet, rocking out with Tommy Rage. Yeah, thanks, man. Paige Hamilton from Helmet, rocking out with Tommy Rage. Yeah, thanks, man.
Now Paige is going to talk about getting the band's big hit through college radio and putting out the music that they really wanted to, and not big hair music. More with Paige Hamilton, the front man from Helmet. Paige Hamilton from the band Helmet joining us. They released a brand new album. The name of it is called Left. Paige, was that some of the attitude you took going into doing your new album? Because it had been, what, like 7 years since your previous studio release? So how do you set your mind as far as what you want to put out next, being the kind of the guy who calls his own shots?
I felt like we had done the meantime 20th anniversary tour, Betty 20th anniversary tour, then we did 30th anniversary tour for the formation of the band was in 89, so we did 2019. I don't just sit around and write Helmet music all day long. I love what we do, and I'm proud of it. But I didn't really, I said, well, if someone has money to so we can do a record, I'll do a record. And finally, our new booking agent and our label said, make a record. I'm like, great. So I finished. I'd written an orchestral piece for a high school in Memphis, Tennessee, the oldest high school orchestra in the country, 150 years old. I wrote the 150th anniversary piece, and I delivered that on February 6th, and on February 7th, I sat down and cleared my table and wrote only Helmet songs. So I just got really, if I'm motivated, I go. It wasn't choosing to necessarily write political songs, but so much has happened in our country in the last 8 or 9 years that as a senior citizen, I'm almost qualified for Social Security. It angers me that this country is so divided, and that the human race in general is so divided that people can't grasp the basic concept that all humans are created equal. Everyone has an equal right to exist on this planet. The song's poured out. I mean, we've always had slight political band songs like Driving Nowhere, or from the Aftertaste album, or I Heart My Guru from Dead to the World. I'm not standing on a soapbox telling people how to think. I'm just presenting my perspective, my view on things. And I felt like Helmet has always had some humor in them, the metal music, whatever you want to call it, hardcore music, has an element of humor, any way you slice it, in my opinion. I remember walking in with a riff for a song called Bad Mood from our Strap It On album, our first full-length album, and I was just cracking up. I go, this is, check this out. It's fun. It's fun music to play, and so there's I'm trying to present things in a way that's not like pointing my finger in someone's face or cramming an opinion down their throat. It's like, hey, there are several points of view, and this is my point of view. And we can have conversations on the back porch, have a beer, barbecue, and talk about stuff. And we've lost that. I've read and heard families are divided, over politics. Please give me a break. And life is short. I'm sorry. Listen and open your mind. You might learn something.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage.
The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18, and he's gonna stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, how about a little something, for the effort, And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
Tommy Rage.
The early 2000s saw quite a lineup change with the band Helmet. Not only did they bring in a new bassist, Frank Bello from Anthrax, they also brought in ex-White Zombie drummer John Tempesta. They recorded an album in 2004, which did rather good, all things considered, due to the music change. The name of that album, Size Matters. We'll do a song off of that album. It's called Crashing Foreign Cars by Helmet here on Rage Record Review.
There's another sucker born every minute, Lord. Get your rap and pay for a good time. Never know what you can afford. Now the rap you're trying to collect. More souvenirs. Got another million miles. No words for the wear. And there's a sucker born every other minute, Lord. And he deserves you more.
Crashing Foreign Cars by Helmet here on Rage Record Review. That off the band's 2004 album, Size Matters. A side note, a lot of the songs and lyrics were actually derived from Paige Hamilton's year-long relationship with actress Winona Ryder. The two dated for well over a year, and thus the inspiration for the album title, Size Matters. We'll have more with Paige Hamilton. After a quick break, we'll talk about how he likes to put personal messages in his songwriting and fond memories of looking back at Madison, Wisconsin. We'll have more with the frontman from Helmet, Paige Hamilton, after a quick break. Keep it here.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage.
The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18.
And he's gonna stiff me.
And I say, hey, Lama, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Tommy Rage.
Welcome back to Rage Record Review. Yours truly, Tommy Rage. Continuing our conversation, our in-depth interview with the frontman from the band Helmet, Paige Hamilton. Let's continue our conversation as Paige talks about using music to spread a personal message about getting along. Paige Hamilton joining us from the band Helmet, talking about the band's latest release that came out in November called Left. You can head out to the band's website, follow them on Instagram, make sure you pick up some merch from the band. Paige, as you were saying, the process of sharing a message, whether it be a direct message or something tongue-in-cheek, when it came to sitting down and writing something, how do you make that switch between jazz and metal? I'm like, you know, I have some thoughts about society and politics. Maybe I'll just compose a really cool jazz song to really get my message out. I mean, how do you make that switch as far as the musical aspect for what you want to compose?
At the end of the day, in Western music, we're dealing with 12 notes. So if you listen to Beethoven, the greatest heavy metal song of all time is the Fifth Symphony. You know, da 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 da, ba 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 ba. And he's taking a two-note phrase, you know, in C minor, and he turns it into this masterpiece. And as far as, you know, a lyric approach, I'm a poetry nerd, and I'll have a stack of about a dozen books of poetry, and then I write stuff by a process of kind of distillation, you know what I mean? Like, I'll write a line, a phrase, a stanza, and then I rewrite it in a notebook next to it, and then I rewrite it in another next notebook, and I continue to rewrite it. I sing it, I say it, I read it. I want to hear it out loud, and so it becomes about the language, the vocabulary. And I think, okay, what am I trying to communicate? It's like I'm not worried about communicating anything, but obviously a song like Gunsluff is I'm heartbroken by the amount of gun violence in the United States of America. And I grew up as a, you know, in Oregon hunting with my dad. I owned guns, you know, and I never once thought about turning a gun on another, you know, member of the human race. You know, I don't hunt anymore. I hated it, but, why can't we come to some kind of agreement that maybe we don't need, you know, bazookas in a house in, you know, whatever, like Omaha or whatever. I don't know what, you know, these things matter to me, and I'm passionate about that, like live and let live, and like to sit down and listen and let people live the life that you be, you know. And that's so it's important to me, and it's become increasingly important the older I get, you know, as I march towards death. You know, I'm like, I just can't we just all get along? We can't. I know we can't.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage.
The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going.
Tommy Rage.
Let's head back to the band's third studio album called Betty. It was released in 1994 as a follow-up to their hugely successful album Meantime. However, Betty kind of took a different direction. There are four ways into jazz and blues, which Paige Hamilton has commented that, you know, he tried to force the music in different directions, and he knows that a lot of fans were a little disappointed, but it's more important to try to grow musically. The band did exactly that with their release, Betty. Let's play a song off of that. The first track called Wilma's Rainbow by Helmet here on Rage Record Review.
Thank you. it's barely mold. Now for the millionth time, Wilma's rainbow of peaceful colors, the richest drug dealer.
That was Wilma's Rainbow by Helmet here on Rage Record Review. Now Paige is going to talk about epic mosh pits and the brotherhood of metalheads. Getting ready to wrap things up with Paige Hamilton, the frontman and guitarist for the band Helmet. Their brand new album, Left, is available. Head out to the band's website. Paige, when you say when we all get along and hang out, in your touring careers, you must have laid eyes on some pretty epic mosh pits. But when it comes down to it, metalheads are pretty nice people to hang out and have a good time with at a show. Am I right about that? I mean, it's a little bit of irony there, correct?
100%. There is a, I'll call it a brotherhood, but it's a brotherhood and sisterhood. When I was in pits and I was a younger man and space diving and doing things, you helped each other up. It was our form of dancing. When we were on the Warped Tour in 06, we had the mid tour point was in the gorge up in Washington, this incredibly beautiful venue on the cliff. And we had a big party that night, a bunch of old parts like myself and bands from, like NoFX and I'm trying to think of all the different bands, but Less Than Jake. We just started playing punk rock music and we had this gigantic pit, and it was so much fun. We were, all of us were laughing and having fun and falling down, and music should unite. Music is a unifying. I mean, we played in 60 countries in my 35 years in this band, 60 countries around the world. People, we don't share a common language, probably don't share a common religion or beliefs or whatever, but it's a unifying force. And why I feel so fortunate to be a musician and to do this for a living and to get to play music and meet people all over the world is before the pandemic, I sat on the edge of the stage after every show for about 10 years, and I would just talk to everybody, take photos, we talk about things, and you feel connected you know, and that's, I can't do it now because I'm old and you know, I don't want to get COVID and die, you know, and so I'm being, you know, more cautious, but I just love that, you know, that someone came to hear songs I wrote and have a good time, and, you know, and that, and, you know, it crosses cultural boundaries. When I was a young man living in Seattle before I moved to New York City, I went to see Baba Olatunji. He had an album called Drums of Passion. He was John Coltrane's, I'm a huge John Coltrane fan. Like, I've transcribed hours and hours of Coltrane. We did a Coltrane piece on the new album called Resolution. And he, at the last place he had played was at the Baba Olatunji Drum Center on 8th Avenue in New York City. So, of course, I had to go find Baba Olatunji at a cassette tape of the Drums of Passion. I went to this concert at a Chinese restaurant upstairs in Seattle, Washington, downtown, and it was 200 people max dancing for 2 hours straight. It was singing and drums and dancing. There were no other instruments, drums, and it was phenomenal. And I just, that feeling. I'm going to see, you talked about Helmet Kids, the drummer Elliot from Gogo Bordello. I love Gogo Bordello, and I've seen them so many times, and he came up to me, he's like, he opened his, pulled his lip, and he said, see this right here where I had stitches? Helmet Show, Boston, 92, the first note played, and the place erupted, and split his lip. Patrick, the conductor of the high school orchestra I was telling you about, Christian Brothers in Memphis, he had a broken nose. I remember him as the guy with the broken nose. He's like, oh, I got this in Chicago at whatever year or whatever. It, you know, there are accidents, but it's not malicious. It's you know, people are just having fun, and they, you know, and it, like having heard kind of war stories from our shows and stuff, it's, you know, it's fun. I feel like it's positive, you know, music, and I feel like our music is positive. I always have felt that. I remember getting letters from kids when people were writing letters, and some kids wrote, you know, killing hurts but has to be done from the song Give It. And I'm like, dude, yeah, it's tongue in cheek. You know, don't take this shit serious. You know, it's, you know what I mean? You have to, you can't explain every lyric to some kid or whatever, but it is, to me, it is positive, and there's humor in it, and I hope people get that, you know.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage.
The Dalai Lama himself, the 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga. So we finish 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I say, hey, Lama, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, oh, there won't be any money. But when you die, on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Tommy Rage.
Helmet dropped a brand new album in 2023. They're out on tour now, made a stop off in Madison in April. Let's go ahead and play a song off that album. The name of the album is called Left. The song is called Powder Puff by Helmet here on Rage Record Review.
Blame everyone.
Paige Hamilton, this week's guest on the Rage Record Review, the frontman from the band Helmet, wraps things up as we talk about epic tour stops in Madison, Wisconsin, and how important it is for fan support. Paige Hamilton joining us. Last two questions as we get ready to wrap things up. You took a brief hiatus from the Helmet scene to go on tour with David Bowie. Tell us a little bit about that. That had to be an experience.
Yeah, I was going through a separation from my wife at the time, so I was sleeping at my manager's house on their futon sofa in the living room in the East Village, and I'd been out one night, you know, and I stumbled in at 3 p.m. the next day, and the phone is, you know, these messages on the answering machine, and it was like, "Hey, David Bowie's trying to reach you," and I'm like, "Yeah, right, whatever." They're like, "No, serious, what time can you call? Can you call?" And I said, I was like, "Oh my God, really? Okay." So I said, "How about 5:00? So at 5:00, Bowie calls and he just said, you know, "Hello, Paige, it's David Bowie." And I was so excited. I'm like, "No." He starts laughing. And he said, "Thanks for your enthusiasm." He said, "Would you play lead guitar with me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think I can squeeze you in." And so they gave me 30 songs that first week. I met him in the studio the next day. And they gave me 30 songs to learn. And then I had 2 weeks to start rehearsals with the band. So needless to say, I was, you know, neck deep. I had my, you know, Chinese takeout boxes and, you know, ashtrays, overflowing ashtrays from what I used to smoke, and the stereo. I learned them all off record. And I came in and played with him, and it was phenomenal. And I kind of describe him as your super sweet, affectionate uncle who just happens to be a genius. You know, like, and he's just, he's amazing. He would turn to me. I've told some of these stories, but Dale Crover from Melvin's will always laugh at this one. I was the only person in the band that drank, and I had just left my wife of 10 years, so I never drank before or during shows, but every night I did my thing, and we got on the elevator. I was on the elevator in Paris at Le Cardor, the hotel on the Champs-Élysées, and nobody took the beer from the dressing room. So I'm like, "I'll take this." My suite at the hotel was twice the size of my apartment in New York City. It had two entrances. I'm not kidding. And I'm on the elevator. No, I turned to get on the elevator, and there's the boss. And I have these bags of beers, and I set them down. Clank, 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 clank. You know, like the bottle. He's like, "Oh, God, Hangover Hamilton's at it again." So I was like, "Sorry, boss. I just, you know, it's like, because you would have a show and then you'd have 2 damn days off and nothing to do." So I'd sit around in my, you know, hotel room and play guitar and drink beer and watch Yankee games, you know. But he's a lovely, incredible human being. I was crushed when he passed, as many people were. And I feel like it was such an honor to get to play with him. He turned to me one day in rehearsal, you know, smoking, of course, and he said, "Advice for budding songwriters. I nick-tack my tunes from Danny Kaye to Inchworm." And I'm like, "What? Danny Kaye to Inchworm?" Like, his influences are so weird. Like, I mean, he listened to everything. Everything. I took him to see Wire, actually, who are heroes of mine and good friends. I played on a Wire album. And that was one of my first tours. And we actually played, I believe we played Madison. It was like, not OK's Corral, but something like that. I played OK's Corral with Band of Susans for sure. But, and so I took him backstage to meet Wire and stuff. It was really cool. You know, he's just a good dude, man. Really good dude. Like, you know, his music speaks for itself. You know.
Last question as we close things out with this week's guest, Paige Hamilton from Helmet, Madison, Wisconsin. You mentioned Oh Crazies. By the way, bravo. You remembered that name? Goodness, that was a long time ago. But really, Helmet is no stranger to Madison, Wisconsin.
Absolutely not. No. We love playing there. I mean, I love playing there kind of now more than ever. Kyle Stevens in the band, who's a Wisconsin guy, and a you University of Wisconsin dropout. I have to give him crap about that.
Of course.
So many great stories about his father driving over, you know, to walk into his house that he lived in on campus with a bunch of dudes, and hadn't been studying, hadn't been doing anything, and like them basically dragging him out by the ear, like, and I just love that stuff. So I'm friends with Butch, big, obviously an icon. He produced the helmet cover of Custard Pie that we did with David Yap from Jesus Lizard for the Encomium tribute. He produced the song we did for the Crow movie soundtrack. Milk Toast, and I learned so much from Butch and just adore him, and you know, so that's a connection. I feel a strong connection, and Butch has told me some great stories about people he's worked with, including the great Clyde Stubblefield, James Brown's drummer, which I just love that story. And I love Garbage too. I'm friendly with Shirley when I see her. I haven't seen her for a million years. I haven't seen Butch for a million years, but just such admiration for, because I was a huge Killdozer fan, and Killdozer, Butch was, you know, Smart was their studio. So, it's Madison is a special place. We know, you know, you guys live there, so you know.
Paige, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to share a little helmet with us.
My pleasure, Tommy. Thanks so much for having me, man.
You're listening to the Rage Record Review with Tommy Rage.
The Dalai Lama. The 12th son of the Lama. Do you know what the Lama says?
No.
Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga. So he finished 18, and he's going to stiff me. And I said, hey, Lama, how about a little something, you know, for the effort, you know? And he says, there won't be any money. But when you die on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going, which is nice.
Tommy Rage.
What a great conversation with this week's guest, Paige Hamilton from the band Helmet. I'll have my closing thoughts coming up in just a bit. But first, let's play one of the band's most well-known songs. Has to be by far their biggest hit ever. It came off that album we've been talking about, the 1992 release, Meantime. The name of the song, Unsung by Helmet, here on Rage Record Review. That was Unsung by Helmet here on Rage Record Review. Many of us Gen Xers know that song Unsung rather well as that entire album Meantime. Closing thoughts with this week's guest, Paige Hamilton. Paige has been unapologetic about his political beliefs as well as his social beliefs. You may not like them, but as an intelligent musician, I've always been impressed on how he has been able to share his thoughts and opinions musically with the public. He stands by what he believes, and he has always been a friend of fellow musicians and of fellow band members, as well as fans. Let's not forget those, right? I've had the pleasure of meeting Paige quite a few times, and I have to say his inspiration for staying strong and staying true to your own personal beliefs, as well as the music industry, is rather refreshing. I can't wait to hear more from the Helmet crew, especially as Paige continues to evolve his own personal beliefs and put forth a message that he believes very firmly in. I can't wait to find out what's next from the Helmet crew. And if you can't wait to find out what's next from us, do yourself a favor. Head out to our Facebook page, Rage's Record Review. You can also like and follow us on Instagram and our socials. Make sure you check out frequently the shows that we have coming. And do yourself another solid. Download the apps that you hear our show on. That way you can support those radio stations. A big shout out to this week's guest, Paige Hamilton. Head out to the band's website to pick up great merchandise and gear, as well as check on tour stops. Until next week, friends, we're going to be back with you same time, same channel, and as always, rock and rage on, my friends.
You're listening to Rock Island Radio, on-demand radio, playing the best 70s, 80s, country, rock, and pop.